Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is an old friend, Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Welcome, Ed Cox.
Good to be with you again.
Well, it's always great to hear your voice, to hear your side of things. You have a lot on your plate right now. There was an op-ed in Newsday in which you said, here's how Andrew Cuomo can fix New York State's sky-high taxes. How to do it?
Yep. The primary problem is the economy and jobs. And he got the theme right when he said tax-free New York, but it's a very limited tax-free program to state university campuses, to startups that aren't necessarily reactive to tax breaks. So a very problematic program, but the theme is right. And I'm convinced that this legislative session and the campaign that follows is going to be focused on how we cut taxes in order to really get New York moving in the right direction. At the moment, the folks in Albany have shown that New York can be managed from a political point of view. They can get budgets on time, but they're still just managing the decline of New York. We have to get New York going in the right direction. To do that, the first priority is not just to cap taxes, as with the 2% property tax cap, but to start cutting taxes and cutting them in the right way.
Okay, but the headline in the op-ed was, how can Cuomo fix taxes? And I take it, is it simplistic enough to just say, cut them?
No, obviously it's which ones you cut. And New York City is the financial capital of the world. Upstate needs capital. Here in New York State, we punish capital. If you have a capital gain, it gets taxed like ordinary income. And in fact, you're in the top bracket. You're taxed just not on your marginal amount, but on the entire, your entire income. And that means that corporations or people who start companies and they want to sell them, they'll go to Florida, they'll go to Texas, they'll go some other place, take their creative abilities and start companies there rather than starting here. Or if they have started a company here, they will move it there, because that's where capital gains get treated and capital generally gets treated a lot better. Small businesses, they are the biggest generators of jobs. 80% of new jobs are done by small businesses, and they get punished in a number of ways by taxes here. And so we have to focus on cutting taxes for small businesses. Manufacturing sector, particularly upstate, we should eliminate taxes on manufacturing companies. I think there's a renaissance going on, particularly in those states where they are developing their energy resources the way we are not here in New York State. But we're benefiting from it also. I think there's a renaissance going on in this country on manufacturing jobs. We have to get part of it. New York State should be a leader in it. And that means eliminating taxes on manufacturing companies.
Well, the person in the barrel right now is listening to you and saying, Ed, why in the world should manufacturers not pay taxes when I pay taxes?
Because they employ people, and those people then have incomes, and they pay taxes. It means more jobs for people here in New York, and that means more income for people generally, and that means, frankly, in the end, when you have a thriving economy, everyone's doing better. Rising tide lifts all boats.
So is that what we call trickle-down?
No, that's what you call building the economy so you make it work. Okay. And New York has been in ongoing decline since the 1950s. I think we had 46 congressional seats back then.
Yeah,
we had 29 before the 2010 census. We lost two more in that census. We're the only other state that lost two was Ohio. So we're continuing. We have 27. When we did have 60 years ago, we had 46. It means going on a comparative basis, we are losing our income generators here. And as a result, on a comparative basis, other states we're losing jobs. If you really want to see how bad it's been, and I'll give you the exact numbers, and it comes out of the 2010 census, Alan, and they took these numbers out of IRS returns. A net 890,000 taxpayers on a net basis have left New York State, taking with them $86.5 billion of adjusted gross income. That's annual income. Generally, the adjusted gross income for all the citizens of New York State is about $450 billion. That amounts to about 20% of what we would otherwise have. That's strange. Meanwhile, the population of New York State has gone up by 1.1 million over that period. That means that if you do the mathematics, there are 2.1 million at least, because some of those filers are joint filers. That's at least 2.1 million of non-taxpayers here in New York State, while we've lost a million taxpayers. New York can't withstand that ongoing basis. The governor said that. He's made it very clear. We cannot continue being the highest tax state in the United States and continue to hemorrhage jobs and citizens.
Now, you wrote, the top destination for those tax refugees for New York was Florida, a state with no personal income tax. That's no fluke. The top 10 most popular destinations for those who have left are an average personal income tax of 2.9%, 6 points lower than New York's top rate. Could New York get away with sharply cutting its personal income tax and run government?
It depends what approach you take. Let me just go back to the capital gains thing.
Sure.
If you're taking an approach, oh, it's all a matter of fairness, then just for the sake of fairness, you raise taxes, you lose citizens, you lose jobs, and you say everything's fair, everyone gets to be equally poor. But that's not what has made America one of the greatest job creators in the world. That's not what made our economy by far the biggest economy in the world. What makes it is that people are encouraged to invest their capital, to build companies. They might fail, they go out and build another one. And that's ultimately why New York has always been New York State in particular has been the lead in this. We used to have we used to be the biggest job creator innovators, whether it was IBM that created computer or Kodak or Xerox or Bosch and Lomb. So focusing on Rochester, there are three companies in Rochester that have gone and disappeared because New York is no longer as innovative as it once used to be. If you want to have a booming economy and create jobs, and have innovation, you need to encourage people to do that. If you cut capital gains taxes, in fact, it is proven every time it did it, Kennedy did it, Reagan did it, it results in more revenues to this in those cases to the federal government, and certainly that applies even more so to state government. So, if you cut taxes in certain ways, you will get more income in the state, and the state government will have more revenue for governmental services for the people of the state.
Okay, so Chairman Ed Cox, I want to know something. If you're right, do people know you're right? I mean, in New York City, for example, de Blasio, the sort of left social leader in that group, I guess that's a good way to put it, and one overwhelmingly saying there was income disparity, that the rich were getting richer, the poor were getting screwed, basically, and the people went for it. They say, you know, this is not a good situation we have here. So why isn't your message resounding?
Well, frankly, the message is resounding in a lot of other quarters. As I said, I think that in this legislative session in Albany, the discussion will be how do we cut taxes to really get the economy going? As you know, Cuomo came up with a tax-free program that he created based on our incubators at the State University of New York.
Right.
And then it spread out to other things. But he's talking about tax-free programs. We're talking about how to do that. That, in fact, is where the discussion is going to be, how to cut taxes in order to jumpstart our economy.
So let me get this straight, Ed. Are you criticizing that as not being broad enough? Because I have issues with that. I mean, in other words, if you bring in a company and say, okay, your people don't have to pay taxes if they're on the State University campus or around it, that there will be people who come from other places and some boss will say, okay, owner, I'll have some of that. Why wouldn't I? But that leaves another area perhaps not having this. So is that fair?
It depends what companies you bring in, and I think with respect to the tax credit program for SUNY, we haven't seen the rules yet, but as I understand, but the governor's made it clear, it's got to, for his tax year, it's got to be new industries that are not competing with other industries outside of the university sector in New York, in New York State. So you have to create rules, which is one of the problems with that kind of a tax-free program. It's a problem with the Excelsior program, with the Empire State zones, where they had tax-free, which have proven not to work. That's a question of mechanics. The point I'm making is that the principle of encouraging entrepreneurship and encouraging people to invest in New York, you can, in fact, have a positive impact on that, create jobs and more income in New York by cutting taxes in the right way.
Okay.
Now, look, there are other things here, too, such as regulations. We are the most regulated state in the United States, particular burden on small businesses. And we need to have, and this is the independent Democrats and the Republicans put forward a proposal that is felt very strong by Jeff Klein and Dean Scullis together, that we need to have a burger commission-like, a burger-like commission that would have the power, unless vetoed by the legislature, to cut taxes, to cut regulations, to eliminate burdensome regulations here on small businesses in New York State. So this is broader than just cutting taxes. This is a full program that I think you're going to find, whether it's independent Democrats, whether it's the second floor of the Capitol, or whether it's the minority in the Assembly, or certainly Republicans are in the, and Dean Scullis, we're in a leadership role on this, to eliminate burdensome regulations that just don't make sense, that are really, that are getting in the way of capital formation and the growth of small business and creating jobs in New York.
Okay, so who you got to run for governor against Andrew Cuomo? I see a thing here that says Carl Paladino may want to run as a conservative again,
yeah.
Splitting
yeah.
your vote. That can't be too good.
Well, you know, we discussed a lot of names over a period of time, different people, and the people said they didn't want to run or just were silent on it. We're at a situation now where we're really talking with several people of different sorts, some of them public service, and would be very qualified to be governor and would make a good run at it.
You always say that. You always say we're talking to a lot of people who want to come in and the rest of it, but I need names.
I know you need names, and I'm not going to give you names.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. Sure. Going forward, because we're in serious discussions now, no names are going to be put out there.
Could Mike Bloomberg be governor if he ran against Andrew Cuomo?
Now, look, you're a historian. You have interviewed governors going way back.
Sure, sure.
Tell me, Alan, when was the last mayor of New York elected governor of New York State?
Well, that's right. But when was the last governor of New York who was, you know, on the Forbes?
The last mayor of New York elected governor.
What? I know. I take your point.
Let me tell you when. It was DeWitt Clinton in 1817. Although I think there was one that was elected within 2 years. He was a financial
guy. Okay, I got you.
Part of 19th century. I mean, the things that qualify you, and this was Rudy Giuliani's problem when he ran for president, the things that qualify you to be mayor of New York really disqualify you, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, or from running for a higher office of government in New York or president.
So I take it I'm not getting an answer, right? Of could Bloomberg win?
If he could, he might run. But I think that the policies that he has stood for here in New York City and the way he has been a manager in New York City is not what people look for in a governor, and that's why I don't think he'd run for governor.
Your hardest job, I think your hardest job, Ed Cox.
And besides, there's also, you know, mayors in New York often say, look, I just occupied the second most elected executive position in the United States, and why should I run for anything but president?
Well, sure.
There's a certain arrogance of New York City, if you will, that why should I be governor? I just had the second most important elected position in the United States. I'm not saying that's what Mayor Bloomberg has, but maybe that's a fact.
I think we heard a no. Okay, but to my question. But let me ask you this. In New York, you know, you've had a non-Democrat for 20 years as mayor. Now you got this guy, Joe Loda. He's pretty impressive in terms of some of the things that he's accomplished in his life in the MTA and working for Giuliani as the number two guy and all the rest of it. It hasn't seemed yet, because I don't think a lot of people know him, to have caught on. Can he win down there?
Oh, sure. You know, it's a question of name recognition. And his campaign was with the 500, among the 500,000 Republicans here, while Bill de Blasio campaigned among the 3.5 million Democrats here. And
but the polls are showing de Blasio cleaning his clock, Loda's clock.
Sure, and the poll showed Quinn and then Wiener cleaning de Blasio's clock.
This is true. This is true.
And the Bloomberg and the Rudy Giuliani were way behind when they got started in their first race.
So, okay.
At the polls at this point, as you know, they indicate more name recognition than anything else. So, now, you're right. In Joe Loda, we have a man who's eminently qualified to be mayor, who in fact was the acting mayor in a period of time when Rudy Giuliani had to deal with all the external things that we dealt with 9/11 at the end of his second term. And Joe Loda, actually, he's been budget director. He's been finance commissioner, first deputy mayor. He ran the MTA, did a superb job in the Sandy hurricane and aftermath of getting the trains running on time again. And while de Blasio, what has he managed, Alan, except for a $2 million budget of the public advocate? Nothing more substantial than that. And the most important thing a mayor needs to do is to manage this very complicated
city. So you're writing the ad. Okay, we're coming to the shotgun part of the show. We only have a few minutes left. I want to ask you something, and each time you can not spend more than 2 minutes, because I'm cutting you off. Casino gambling, do we want it here in New York State?
Casino gambling is being advertised as the economic development for upstate New York. That is very sad as a program. It's not going to achieve the broadly announced goals. So for the purpose it's being done for, it doesn't make sense, and it can bring calamity to the communities where it's located.
Are you going to vote against it personally?
Casino gambling, I would vote against it, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
As a general matter. In a particular community, if I were there where it's going to be played, then I thought, and it may be different, but I don't see it as a general moral issue.
Hydrofracking. We don't hear much about it these days. The people who are opposed to it are still opposed to it. The governor is still waiting on a report from his health commissioner. What do you make of the present state in 2 minutes?
Every other state that has booming jobs, tens of billions of dollars of additional income in the state, take Pennsylvania, 50,000 more jobs. Pittsburgh is booming, doing all the metal bending for it. Buffalo, it should be done there. It's not. We've got great natural gas reserves that should be developed.
What seems to be the problem? Well, there's a tremendous resistance to it on all kinds of grounds. Who has mishandled that in terms of the political establishment?
That's very clear. Governor Cuomo. Political timidity. He does not have the political will to do what he needs to do and to bring jobs back to the southern tier that needs them. Now, if there's a community that doesn't want it, home rule, because they've got a wine industry or tourist industry and they don't want that kind of, that's fine. Let them vote on that for there. But as the New York State as a whole, he should put out the regulations, good regulations, which other states have done, and let what would be a great industry here in New York develop. Bring cheap natural gas to help our manufacturing sector take off also.
What do you make, Ed Cox, of the corruption scandals that we keep seeing? All kinds of proposals, according to Preet Bharara.
Right.
The question is, do you think convicted office holders should give up their pensions?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, if you violate the public trust, you should not continue to be supported by taxpayer funds that are paid by the taxpayers, by the people of the state whose trust you betrayed.
He says, Bharara says, that corruption is rampant in New York state politics. Why? What do you make of that?
Attorney General Cuomo put his finger on it when he was Attorney General. He said the Attorney General Public Integrity Division does not have the power to initiate cases unless referred by the governor. He campaigned to get that power, did not succeed. The Attorney General of New York State should have that power. The Attorney General of Pennsylvania had that power, Tom Corbett. He used it. He was a Republican. He prosecuted Democrats as well as Republicans. The public said, we like this guy because he's cleaning up government. He got elected governor of Pennsylvania. Here in New York, we have a draconian blue sky law that permitted Elliot Spitzer to go after people on Wall Street without much cause. And they got elected governor that way, but he didn't have the, if he had the power to go after corruption in Albany, he probably would have done that, and that would have been a better path to power for him than what he used in messing up good institutions on Wall Street when he could have been going after corruption in Albany. It's an institutional problem we have, and it's one that we're going about solving using the power investigation of the Republicans in the House of Representatives to focus on the Martin Act here, which is can be preempted by federal blue sky laws.
You, of course, are a guy who is very adept at your job. You talk, for example, to your Senate Majority Leader. When you talk to him and say, shouldn't we be out front on this rather than resisting, you know, change? What do you hear from Dean Skelos?
I don't think he's resisting change. If there's any resistance to change, it's Shelley Silver, who's mired in one of the worst corruption scandals you can have. Shelley Silver enabled a rapist, a person who sexually assaulted women. He enabled them to rape and sexually assault again by using taxpayer funds to cover up their initial crimes. And that is very good reason for Shelley Silver to step down. And he's mired in that. He's not focused on what is needed for New York State. It's no, no, no.
That hasn't seemed to resonate with the voters. I mean, the Assembly is really Democratic, as blue as you can get. And we haven't seen that message getting through to the voters. What's that about?
It certainly resonated with all the editorial pages of New York State, including the New York Times, who have asked for the demand that Shelley Silver resign. But he has such a death grip on the Assembly, particularly the women there. Shameful. The Democratic women support him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we support you because you're going to be for some of our issues. We don't care that you're enabling a rapist to rape again or someone who's assaulted women to assault other women. We don't care about that as long as you agree with us. That is absolutely shameful on their part. They should demand that he resign.
Is it your view that we can come to a point where we install ethics laws in New York State? The governor says he wants them, where we can have a cleaner state.
Well, he did pass set up a new ethics commission, which he said would be the best that is ever seen in New York State, maybe in the country. And that ethics commission never did a formal ethics investigation of Shelley Silver because of the way it worked. And then it permitted Shelley, the way the mechanics of it were set up, it permitted Shelley Silver's people to go in and limit the report that's actually done with respect to Vito Lopez. It proved to be a toothless commission. And it didn't live up to the way the governor billed it. And that's very sad.
Ed Cox, we have to leave it there. I wish I could talk to you for another hour. We're out of time. Our guest has been Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, you keep on coming and coming back and talking to us, and we appreciate it very much. So thanks again for joining us.
It's always good to talk to you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.